Good morning, everyone.
Welcome
to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here today. And we have a couple of faces we haven't seen in a while. It's always nice to see Kristen. And want to call out a special hi to Rose Wood, who's visiting today. So people who remember Rose, it's great to have Rose here. And of course, it's always nice to have Tom with us today. I only have one announcement. We need to have a special congregational meeting that we're going to hold next week after service. It'll be short. We'll hold a short congregational meeting to review and approve or disapprove a proposal to replace 20 slate roof tiles on the main church roof. So this is above our $6,500 threshold. Not by much, but it is above it. So we're going to have a congregational meeting to review those options and hopefully approve it so we can move ahead and get the roof fixed. With that, I will turn it over to Tom.
Is it me, or is summer going too fast? You think so? What are we in the middle of summer? I mean, if it starts in June and ends at Labor Day, we're in the middle. Where did it go? I mean, as you get older, you wouldn't understand this. None of you would. But as you get older, it seems like it goes faster, doesn't it? Did you ever notice that? Well, and we have a little bit of rain. Gosh, I haven't mowed my grass now in 10 days. Wow, is it dry? So we needed the rain last night. And thank God it's not raining this morning, or we wouldn't have this large group here. But it'll rain later today, we trust. And that's good for gardens and everyone else who looks for the rain to water the earth in the ways that we need to do so. It was so great to see Rose. We chatted on our way in this morning. And I'll be mentioning prayers for David's brother later in the service. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good that we are here this day together in God's house to bless one another. Just one other thing before we get started. I read something this morning that said that even sending a text changes people's lives. If you just keep in touch with people, we don't realize how important it is. Just, I'm thinking of you today. And all of a sudden, your whole day changes. Just one little word of hello, of I love you, I miss you. And so we do that in a big way today. Not only do we say it electronically, but today we say it by face, by handshake, or maybe by hug or smile. We let each other know, you're important to me and I love you. And that is just, that means so much to all of us. Such a little but wonderful thing. So may we be those people for each other today. And may we call one another to worship on this Lord's Day. We gather this day from a week filled with needs and demands.
We come to find rest and renewal of our spirits.
Open your hearts in love to hear the voice of God.
We want to quietly rest in God's presence, free from the clamor of the world.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Let us rise together as we join voices and hearts in song.
Thank you.
Now let us join together in our unison prayer of confession. Let us confess our sins to God and before one another. Gracious and loving God, open our hearts so that we are able to admit to you the fullness of our lives, that which is beautiful and good, and that which is hurtful and harmful. We confess that we do not follow Jesus in all that we do. We love with condition. We judge and condemn. We cast the first stone and keep the lids on our own eyes. We do not turn to you as the source of our healing. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive our sin and empower us to be imitators of Christ in love and service. Amen. Thanks be to God that God's love for each of us is not based on our faithfulness, but rather on God's steadfast love. My friends, know that your sins are forgiven. Go therefore and walk in the light of the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Together we confess what the Church believes. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Send your greeting to one another. Now, as we can remain seated, let us join again in song and voice together as we are led on the screen with the words.
Thank you.
a special time when God's people join hearts, pray together. In my morning devotions this morning, I read in the reading, it said that prayer is allowing God to love us in a deep, sweet way. I had never thought of prayer like that. But it makes my feeling about prayer even richer. Prayer is allowing God to love us. What a beautiful thought. And so it's also a way that we love God and return that love and share the love between us and our Creator Redeemer. So this is a special time. Requests for prayer includes celebrating that Deb Ruby was 90 last week. May we all be as beautiful as you at age 90. God bless you. May we be applauding next year at this time for 91. That's wonderful. And as Rose was mentioning this morning, I'm aware of Dave, you know, David, her husband, who was interim here. His twin brother is quite ill in New Jersey, and in a couple of weeks together they will go visit the family. David is my golf partner, and I happen to know his brother through driving to the golf course. We share stories. We talk about how we grew up and what our siblings, brothers and sisters, and our relationships and all. So I know that this is a special time for David, his twin brother, being quite ill. And so please remember Rose's brother-in-law this morning. Did you remember from last week I talked about my brother-in-law in the sermon? Does anybody remember that? He, the one who said he was bitter? Well, last night he was taken to the hospital in an ambulance, a blood thing on his brain, and will have surgery at 1 o'clock Eastern time today. And so I have a complicated relationship with my brother-in-law. I do. But I've been praying for him all morning, and I'd like for you to think of him, my brother-in-law, as you think of Rose's brother-in-law today in your prayers. Also, and I hope I can follow the writing and all, and if I can, I'm sure you'll figure out what I'm trying to say. From Arlie, request prayer for Karen, who is a friend who's starting chemo this week. May God's blessings and peace be upon Karen. Tom
Dvorkin.
Is he here?
Yes.
Raise your hand, Tom. You know Tom then. Your sister passed?
Last Sunday.
Tom, we're glad you're here today, and our prayers with you, with your family, and all part of that circle of love for you and your loved ones. God bless you. And then from Kathy, requests for prayer for David Herschel and Herschel Sr. Some of you know maybe who I'm speaking of here. Is that a name that your co-worker, friend of Kathy's? David for marital resolution. Herschel got promoted to do global ministry, spreading and teaching of the gospel in countries around the world. So he's asking for guidance and wisdom. Could you all hear that? I'm deaf in one ear, so I'm sure that you're following that. And so Herschel Senior, kidney failure, pray for healing. Do I have most of that? Yes, I trust I do. Well, let us start together in a moment of silent prayer. Several names here, and concerns, celebrations, and sorrows. And so may our prayers begin in silence, giving our thoughts and hearts to God, and then be led in prayer. God of love and compassion, your word is light and truth for our lives. In worship this day, let your face shine upon us to bless and restore us that we may walk in your way, loving one another, seeking justice, doing good. God of the past, present, and eternity, fill us with your grace for the living of this day and every day. Give us wisdom and direction for the desire to share your grace wherever we are, with whomever we are with. Fill us with passion for life and purpose for living. May we be faithful to follow you all of our days and in every moment of celebration or need. We exalt and praise your name, and we share in our hearts those concerns that have been brought forth in this place now. Bless those in celebration. Guide those who are on a difficult journey. Heal those who are sick. Renew those whose life and passion have fallen low. We pray, O God, to you because you do wonderful and marvelous things. And we are now and always thankful. And now hear us and bless us as we remember to pray as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We rise if able and join voices in song once again. Thank you. Please be seated. And let us join together in worshiping God by bringing our gifts. Strength for life, and you give us strength and joy in giving. We bring these gifts, thanking you for the opportunity to share the great work that Christ has for all the earth. We give in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is Psalm 86, verses 1 to 13, a prayer of David. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. This is a reading of the word.
So the psalmist sings, teach me your way, Lord, and I will walk and rely on your faithfulness. Or other translations, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. And then, of course, Jesus says in the third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let us pray. God, may your word be sweeter than honey and life to our souls. Amen. Gordon was a couple years older, two, 3 years older, maybe four, than I. I was his pastor in Indiana. He was unpretentious as rural Kansas, where he came from. If you've ever been to rural Kansas, you know that's unpretentious. People don't brag about being from western Kansas much. He went to Harvard for a PhD, and it didn't make him big-headed in the least. He was always just Gordon from western Kansas. I used to kid him that he graduated first in his class in high school, because I knew there were only seven people in his class. Gordon was a wonderful man, still is. The best church member. No one's ever had a better church member than Gordon. He was just, and he was the kind of person who was always, even when he disagreed with you, he'd smile when he talked. You know people like that? It was just a smile, even when he didn't agree with what you're talking about. He was always so gracious. We were close not only as friends, but our families were close as well. He had two daughters, and I had two daughters, and they were all they were all the same age. They knew each other from Sunday school and church. And so we might be at their house for Thanksgiving dinner, and they might be at our house for Christmas dinner. And we went camping together. Now, I mean we went camping, not like they do now. I mean, I see these people, they say they're going camping, and it's a house on wheels. You know, and they take it out into the country, and they have a kitchen and a bathroom, and they cook on a stove and all this kind of stuff, and sleep off the ground. They call that camping. Oh, my gosh. No, that's not camping. Camping is what Gordon's family and my family used to do. We'd go up to Wisconsin, and we would put up a tent, and we would sleep on the ground in sleeping bags, and we would make a fire to cook our food. That's camping. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know it was coming when Gordon and I had lunch that day. It's a day that changed my life. It hurt to hear what he had to say to me, because he was my best friend. It also hurt because what he was saying was the truth. Gordon laid out for me pretty clearly where I had failed as pastor of the congregation. And what people I had failed, and how I had failed them. And my life was changed from that lunch. I changed. It was my moment of meekness, if I ever had one. Meekness, you see, and Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Meekness means being teachable. Being open to the truth that is beyond your own mind and your own heart. One of my favorite writers says that we have this infinite capacity of self-deception. Do you understand that? Or another person said it this way, maybe it's a little clearer. Don't trust yourself to know yourself. You see, we're not able to do that. But in our arrogance and our false self-confidence, when we think we know it all, we think we know everything, we think we know ourselves, and we think we know what we need, and we don't. That's why the psalmist that we read from this morning, and it's just one of the times when the psalmist does this, the psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, your way, and I will walk in your truth. The fact is that we cannot know our own heart. We cannot know our own needs. And the psalmist, and I guess that's why churches read the psalms. Some of them read the psalm every Sunday in worship. Because the psalmist, all through those 150 chapters of the psalms, keeps talking about the joy of the law and the joy of being taught. How God is a good shepherd who guides us and leads us beside still waters and pastures green. And how God's way, God's word, is sweeter than honey. And how the psalmist will say, oh God, your love is better than life. Your steadfast love is better than life. Better than life. How would we know that? Unless we are meek, unless we are teachable. And unless we let God's grace and love come into us and show us who we are and what we need. There is no place for arrogance in that. Meekness means that we are teachable, that we can change, that we can hear a word beyond our own echo chamber, that we are enabled to see our own self hurts, how we hurt ourselves and the way we live, and how we hurt and offer pain to other people. We can't see that in ourselves unless we're helped to get out of that, to be meek enough to learn, to see, to change, like I did that lunch hour long time ago. Many years after that, I reminded Gordon of our lunch, and you know what he said? He said, I don't even remember it, but I do. That lunch, that conversation, was God's word speaking to me from outside myself. And thank God, at that moment, I was able to hear. It was my best moment of meekness, and I wish I would have heard it long before that day. You don't know the name of Stanley Hauerwas. It's okay. You shouldn't know it. He was actually, I doubt if anyone would remember this probably, but Time Magazine once had his picture on the front cover. Wouldn't you like to have your picture on the front cover of Time Magazine? Stanley Hauerwas, America's best theologian. I was blessed beyond words in reading his memoir this past week. And Rose, you can tell David thank you for the book. We went to play golf and David just threw me the book. Here, it's a good book. And I read it, and it was a blessing that beyond words. Stanley Hauerwas grew up in Texas. Don't hold that against me. He grew up Methodist. And when his father was a bricklayer who worked in a crew of people who built buildings, bricklayers. I learned more about bricklaying in that memoir. I didn't know anything about laying bricks. And Stanley, when he was 7 years old, began working with his father, and he learned to lay brick and he learned to cuss. Eventually, he gave up laying brick. And to this day, he hasn't given up cussing, to the dismay of a lot of pious ears. He went to graduate school, got a PhD, and landed a teaching job at a small Lutheran college in the Midwest, and not long after that, a teaching job at Notre Dame. Now, God has a sense of humor. A Methodist teaching theology at Notre Dame who cusses like a sailor. God's got to have a sense of humor. And Stanley Hauerwas writes in his memoir, he fell in love with it all. Except the sidebar, his wife went deeper and deeper into mental illness, which is part of the tragedy of his life. But the other side was, he thrived at Notre Dame. He loved the students, he loved his teaching. He even fell in love with South Bend. How you could love South Bend, I have no idea. It's gray skies and snow, it's more gray, maybe not more gray skies than we have, but more snow. How would you love South Bend? And he found a church. Now, all through this memoir, he talks about the fact that he didn't even think he was a Christian. And I don't think he was. Until he and his son, his wife, wouldn't go to church. She was so sick. But he and his son started looking for churches, and they found a little Methodist church that had dwindled to 50 people on a Sunday morning and was located in a difficult part of the city. And that little Methodist church transformed him. The theologian became a Christian. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He was changed not in his mind, but in his heart. You've got to be changed in both. And he had this great mind, but his heart was not changed. And in the fellowship of this little Methodist church, where people loved each other and served the poor and served food to the hungry and prayed together, he became a Christian, a real believer. He loved Notre Dame. Even though he never said a word about football, I know that he's telling the truth. He loved Notre Dame. And then one day, he got a letter. It was a letter from Duke Divinity School. Now, if you're a Methodist, Duke Divinity School is like the plum of plums. You don't get any better if you're a Methodist than Duke. And Hauerwas writes, he didn't know what to do. He was in love with where he was, with the people that he served with. He loved everything about where he was. Then they had this invitation to Duke. And do you know what he did? He took the letter to his Methodist church. And he told them, he said, you've got to pray with me. You've got to pray for me. I don't know what to do. And then he said, and after you pray, you will tell me whether I should stay or whether I should go. There's a word for that. It's called meekness. It's a life that's open to the counsel and love and correction and guidance to one's fellow believers and to the Holy Spirit who shows us the way. The meek are the richest people on earth, you know. Blessed are the meek, says Jesus, for they will inherit the earth. They have everything. Amen. Let us close our service by joining and standing if able to sing our hymn of departure. Somebody asked me yesterday, how many people show up for church where you're preaching? And I said, I don't know. Did you count this morning?
32.
How many?
32.
It looks like 132, but okay. Now I can report that. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power and strength of the Holy Spirit be with us and in us now and forevermore. Amen.
May I ask a question? Did he go to Duke?
What?
Did he go to Duke?
Yes. But he still cusses. He went to Duke. All right. And he went to Duke because they said, you go.
Okay.